The legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Big Sky, the Chambers Plan, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, Clear Air Solutions, 5-Hour Energy, and GarbageDay.com/Humble and Fred. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Instagram is Humble and Fred Radio. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
All right, here we are. Good day all. What's that, sir? Good day all. Yeah, I realize that. Depending on what headphone I have on now, and I don't always have both of them on, is directly responsible for how whether I can hear you or I can hear the music or I can hear the intro. So sometimes if I say, pardon me, it's not that I'm not paying attention, because you know that when you are speaking, I don't want to miss anything.
I thought when you said, pardon me, you had farted.
That's right.
Pardon me, I just crapped myself.
You know, I started, some time ago, I started wearing these iPhone sort of earbuds, corded, yes, not cordless, and no. Oh man, I love the sound and I love the comfort. You should try it.
I will. Thank you for that recommendation. What I think I want to also say, and I know where I heard this, Phil, was it you and I or Freddie and I talking? Somebody mentioned that on the Facebook feed that my microphone is overpowering, and I've got it basically below the reference line on our board. Excuse me, and you explain, is it? I don't know why, but there's a lot of equipment here that is unnecessary. So all I know is we need to streamline it, because it shouldn't, the Facebook feed should be basically the same as the feed that people are listening to on the radio.
It could just be the residents of the line as well, because remember that Fred and I are remote. So you're on a microphone, and it, you know, all the EQ's different, of course. And maybe you just sound louder because you're live at a mic connected to the board, and we're like indirectly through your computer sound card. So it could be different for that reason.
Sounds good to meet them.
you, I just love Fred. Fred's face basically reflected my eyes. I'm like, are you Mr. Fancy?
Phil's technical explanations brought to you by Sleeping Pills.
Aren't you Mr. Fancy with the technical explanations? Well, look at here. Look at the Queen's Gambit of technical production.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, I wanted to explain that to the Facebook people that do listen to the show or stream it through the show. And I know we're still not showing you what we look like. Fred looks like Tom Petty. Phil's taken to wearing a robe. And I look exactly the same. So there you go.
Tom Petty. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. At some point, I've got to get... I need the recommendation of a long hair hair cutter. Because I need some, you know, I need this under a little bit under control, but I don't want to cut too much off it. You know, and I'm not going to super cuts, because I'll come out looking like my Aunt Aura.
Well, I can't even imagine. Did she have a nice beard, too?
Yeah, towards the end, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when Aunt, I think it was Aunt Tilly, started to grow a bit of a wispy beard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's unusual. That is unusual.
I've ordered Delish. She cannot do that.
She cannot do what?
I've ordered Delish. She cannot do that as she gets older. Grow whiskers. No, I forbid it.
Yeah, you put your foot down there. Freddy, oh, yeah. K. Attaboy. Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. This is us just getting warmed up. It's great to have you along. On the program today, Richard Surrett, who is the host of the Conspiracy Show, and it'll be interesting having Richard on as we kind of break down some of the election stuff, and then later, Every once in a while, we get a recommendation for a comedian. I can't exactly remember where this one came from, but he's a very interesting character named Michael Jr. Go to, and he's doing a series of Zoom stand-up shows all around North America. He's actually doing a Zoom stand-up tour, and we're going to talk to him. He's been on The Tonight Show, The Late Late Show, Oprah, Jimmy Kimmel, and more. And today, he'll be on our program. He's also featured in some movies and TV shows. This is the actual guy.
Is he a Canuck?
No.
Oh, okay.
He claims to be the number one Christian comedian in North America. And my first question to him will be, what makes a comedian a Christian comedian? And secondly, isn't that Jim Gaffigan? Because Jim Gaffigan is a, you know, fairly well-known Catholic comedian.
I'm going to ask him to tell us a few God jokes. Isn't that what you do?
I don't know. Listen, you do whatever you need to do there, Auntie Orr.
Speaking of comics.
No, let's get back to you saying you need to recommendation to find somebody to cut your hair.
Yeah.
You don't think the average hair cutter can just go take a little bit off?
I don't know.
Like you need a stylist all of a sudden?
Maybe. Maybe.
All right.
Don't know.
All right. Speaking of comedians, what?
Saturday Night Live this week. Dave Chappelle and the Foo Fighters. How can that be anything but a great show?
Yeah. Well,
you know, and if they, you know, have a couple of funny skits about the election and then you have the Foo Fighters and Dave Chappelle, how is that not going to be a great show?
Well, what will be great is Dave Chappelle off the top, the two Foo Fighters songs, which I'll watch. And that's it. That's all you need to watch. Maybe I couldn't. I honestly don't know that I can name any more. I certainly couldn't name them. But if you pointed to four people and said, are these people on Saturday Night Live or are they trying to overthrow the government? I wouldn't know the difference. At some point, we're going to get into key election, key states alerts and things, key state alerts. But, Phil, we want to welcome your daddy back home. Explain, how long has your father been away? Where'd he go? It's because of the COVID. He was stuck in a foreign country. The stage is yours.
So, Dad left Canada November 20-something, 2019. So, this was before the outbreak. We weren't told about anything health-wise at that time. And he was supposed to be in Vietnam until March. And unfortunately, his airline wouldn't rebook him in March when Vietnam banned airlines from China, which is the country that flew him there. And so he had to sit there and wait until either the Vietnamese government let this airline take him home, or he had to find alternative means of transport. And so what happened was last month he got really sick of things and bought an Air Canada ticket, which is ironic because you would think, you know, let's make fun of Air Canada and all their antics. But he had to fly a different airline home. It cost him $700 more a person, but he is home today.
Well, isn't that nice? And you saw him for the first time yesterday.
Since February, because he joined me in Cambodia.
Oh, okay. But was it an emotional reunion? Did you say, Papa, Papa?
Well, it was emotional in a way, and also a bit of a payoff, because after all these months, he's 6 months overdue, plus 3 months of me helping him, means he owes me $8,000.
Oh, nice. So he wrote you a check for $8,000. Nice.
You'll love this, Fred. He still banks in Brampton.
Oh, yeah. You know what, Phil? I really love that.
Yeah.
All right. You know what, Phil? We've only been on for 9 minutes and 40 seconds. Nothing has made Fred happier.
No.
No. He hasn't lived in Brampton for 21 years. He's still...
No, but
there.
When yeah. Fred... Listen. When Fred finds out somebody is banking in Brampton...
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
What a day. What a day.
A day. What was his arrival, COVID implications, quarantine, what's all that deal?
Well, when he entered Canada through Vancouver, and so the customs officers at Vancouver Airport basically followed the regular procedure like any other traveler. You got your customs card, you hand them over like you always do, but the officer basically spent 20 minutes explaining to him about the ways he can go to jail if he breaks quarantine. And so he understood all that. He doesn't want to go anywhere anyways. He's 70 years old and it's cold. So he's when he arrived at his house, because Liz and Jen and I were waiting for him, my sisters and I, and instead of telling us or calling us that he was on his way home, he just popped up. He showed up with 7 bags that he carried himself. And started hovering around us. Like, he had his mask on. We had masks on, but he's just like, are you afraid of me? I'm being quarantined. Are you afraid of me?
He's a bit of a comic, that man.
Bit of a prankster.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I got my Andy Kaufman from him.
It all sounds so warm and fuzzy. Dad's back home, safe and sound. And that's great.
With about 50 pounds of shrimp.
Well, I was going to say, did he bring something from his travels with him?
Oh, he did. He did. There's a lot of dried seafood. Like, it's 5 out of 7 bags he brought home is food.
Isn't that nice?
Wow. As long as he didn't bring the China flu, that's good.
Did he bring the China flu?
No, but even the Vietnamese were like, do you have the China flu?
Hey, Philly, that's very sweet that your father brought that for you. Isn't it? And knowing your family and your love of food. Are those things that you couldn't get here? I'm being serious.
You could, but you know, when you go to a faraway country like Vietnam, you want to bring home something legal, by the way. Legal. Dried food is legal. Dried fish. So, he just wants the taste of his hometown in a way.
Right.
Because whatever you buy here, it's usually not quite there.
Well, it sounds lovely.
So you're really saying does. Like freeze-dried shrimp.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Dried shrimp, you can bring fish home, dried fish, as long as they're eviscerated, of course.
So dried shrimp, how would that be consumed?
Well, you usually make soup out of it. So you throw it in a stock, for example, ground it up and then throw it in as a seasoning, for example. Yeah.
All right.
Well, it sounds fantastic, Phil. While we have you and we have your attention, which, you know, is not always the case because sometimes you retreat back into your bunker. You sent us a note that a friend of yours had sent explaining some of the things going on in Philadelphia, or is this just Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania, because I have a few friends, and I have an aunt in Philadelphia, speaking of Auntie Aura, terrible haircut as well.
Right.
This friend who emailed me, he lives in Lancaster, which is how they pronounce it, in Pennsylvania. That's Amish country beside Harrisburg.
Okay.
So this guy went through an ordeal himself trying to vote because in August he requested his ballot. And so he waited until last week when the U.S. Postal Service told him that they returned the ballot and he had to show up at the poll. And so so he was a bit pissed off. Like, there were apparently efforts to try to suppress the vote in Pennsylvania this way because there were folks who were requesting mail-in ballots, but Pennsylvania decided to change a rule there saying that anyone who's been disabled or has a disability will now have to show up at the poll. And he had a heart attack once.
Okay, well, I'm just looking at the email now, and I'm just a little bit confused. So just to clear it up for everybody.
Okay.
So what's happening in Pennsylvania right now is that they have the right to count votes for, I think, 3 days after the election. Is it 3 or 9?
So if you mailed your ballot on election day.
On election day.
The post office put a mark that says election day on it that gives you that date. Mm-hmm. They can count those ballots received up to 3 days after that date.
Now, the interesting thing about the email, and it's true that universally across the country there, any initiatives that have been blocked or gone to court have been from the Republican Party. And this is what I wanted to get. This is a jumping off point with Fred, that according to your friend, in the wake of COVID, the Democrats had an initiative to change the law to permit the counting of absentee ballots upon receipt, meaning they could have been counting them weeks ago. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yes, and that's what we do. It's not abnormal, right?
So that was blocked by the Republican Party. The reason I'm bringing this up is this: I think it's fascinating, and I'm just curious. As your friend says, the Republicans, and this is true nationwide, are the ones, it seems, and this is where I wanted to pick it up with Freddie. What is their motivation for suppressing vote there? Which just, you know, seems odd that that's a thing they like to do.
Where, in Pennsylvania?
Well, all over the country, because any kind of challenge is coming from the Republicans.
In this case you're talking about, it's just, I guess, because they know mail-in ballots are lean heavily Democratic, I guess.
But there's always been mail-in ballots. These things that are happening.
Not to this degree, though.
Obviously. Yeah, I know.
And here's the thing, which bothers me. You know, it sucks when you complain about the rules during the game. Like,
yeah,
learn from this, and then the election's over, and then over the next 4 years, do what you have to do to change the rules. But not during the game. It's really nauseating to listen to this, don't you think?
Well, and I think that's a really good point. Like, if these are the way, here's the thing that we're now seeing again in real time, which is, you know, this orange imbecile for 4 years has been saying fake news, the election's rigged, it's all against me. And yet here we have all these rules in place that have been in place. It's not like people are making this stuff up to get Trump. You know what I mean?
No, of course not. But it's just a narrative. It's here. You know, I heard last night a lot of these lawsuits that he's launched, you know, they're not going to go anywhere.
No,
all he's doing at this point, apparently he's very dejected too. As results come in, even though he hasn't lost yet.
Yeah.
He just, if he has to concede, he wants to concede and be known as the president who was cheated out of his position.
Had the election stolen.
He wants that legacy. So he'll never say, you know, he never wants to be in a position, I ran against Joe Biden and I lost. There's always going to be, because it was stolen from me, because that's the type of guy he is.
Yeah.
You know, and I heard Rick Santorum last night defending him as a great patriot, that Donald Trump cares about America. If he cared about America, he would not be tarnishing the whole system like that. He's making it look like a banana republic. How much do you love your country if you want to project that image?
Yeah, if he cared about America, he wouldn't say the election process is rigged.
Yes.
That's not a guy that is a guy that only cares about Trump.
You're right.
Not even Trump's America. The fact that he's setting up this scenario, and I heard about some of those challenges and lawsuits. They're in very small counties. They're not. Mm-hmm. Listen, as Cuomo said this morning, I was watching the CNN coverage just before you came on, and he was talking about it. He said, listen, there are... In states where the count is a certain percentage, it triggers a recount. And he said in those states, there will be a recount if it's triggered. Those are just the rules in place. It's not anything nefarious. It's just the way the game is played.
And the way the guy, even election night. So let's stop. He says, this is the president. Let's stop counting. Stop the count in Pennsylvania. Well, it's close in Nevada and Arizona, too. Should we stop the count there? Oh, no, keep counting there.
No, I know.
It's unbelievable because he was behind in those two states, but he was ahead in Pennsylvania. Like, it's bizarre. You know, the best thing I did yesterday, too, I ate my supper after watching Eric Trump and Rudy Giuliani do that news conference.
Well, yeah, I want to hear that audio. Phil, can you find the audio? I hear it was bananas.
It was sickening. Eric Trump standing up there pleading for his father, my father this, my father that, and then Giuliani, who's totally unhinged.
Yeah, I heard he came unhinged.
But he, you know, like, yeah, it was unbelievable.
But I want to answer to what you said there, like, how and we can talk about, like, it'll be interesting to talk to Richard today, because we basically said, we just want to talk about the election, and maybe... You know, I don't, you know, again, what is Richard Surrett supposed to do? Defend Donald Trump? But here's what I don't understand. How can you support the guy who is literally coming out, you know, instead of, you know, what Biden did was say, hey, listen, we're not going to claim anything. Although Boone suggested I claim I won the 2019 Masters, and I'm going
Why
to.
Not?
I'm going
Why
to. Not? But yeah. There's the president who says, I think we've won. The election is rigged. It's a sad day for our country, and only wants to have the counting continue in states that he's, you know, has a chance
behind.
Wants to stop the counting in states he's ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much more legacy do you want from this beast?
No, I know. I think to be fair to Richard Surrett, though, you know, he's admitted that Trump's behavior is odd. You know, he's a Trump guy based on policy. You know, and we've said that all along. Well, he is, basically. And, you know, he's willing to overlook the behavior, I guess. He's one of those people. You know, and policy-wise, there's some things that Trump has done that are okay and maybe good. But that's how stupid the man is. Rather than ride that wave, as he could have over the past 4 years, he just couldn't resist because there's something wrong with him.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there has been policies and orders, as you mentioned yesterday, some of the stuff with that helped him get the black vote. But a lot of it is just tactics like going into Florida and scaring Latinos into thinking that socialism was coming back. Like, a lot of it is just scary, heavy-handed, you know, fakery. Right.
But see, some of that stuff backfires, too, because those were Cuban and Venezuelan Latinos in Miami who have come from socialist situations. The Latinos in Nevada and Arizona now have voted against him because they're Mexicans. And all the things he said about Mexican, that's coming to bite him in the ass. Same with all his John McCain blather is coming back to get him, too. Because McCain's wife, you know, endorsed Biden. She's a Republican. And people loved John McCain in Arizona.
Yeah.
So all that crap he said about McCain is coming back to get him. You got to love it. You got to love it.
Yeah, so I heard somebody say that the ghost of John McCain is kicking Donald Trump's ass.
There's another, you know, so he's pretty much got Arizona, you know.
Whoa. We're going to get to the election.
Okay.
We're going to go to the magic wall. We're going to go to the magic wall soon.
Because there's some great poetic justice in that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to.
So. But can we just focus for a second on this? Let me share computer sound with everybody because I think it's important that we take a moment in all of this chaos and just recognize. What is the look on your face right now? What is that look?
That's my, I love this. That's my, I love this look.
Okay. You know, it's been 30 years. I don't think I know all your looks.
The summer wind.
There you go.
Came blowing in from across the sea.
And yesterday, it was so nice that it was almost surreal. And
walk with me.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say any age. How do you not love this? I mean, seriously.
Oh, this song? No, I know.
Yeah. Smooth nice. Silk, man.
This came out, the year this came out, I was 6 years old. You were 10. And I can just imagine a young Freddie P, you know, in the middle of raking his dad's lawn, stops and just sings into the top of it like, hey, everybody. Yeah.
Like painted kites.
I know one person that's got more great news for us. Dan Duran, who is a... But Dan Duran in 1966 was already a real crooner. Hello, Dan. Nope, Mike's not on.
Mike's not on, Danny.
There's another golden moment. Missed. All right, well... We'll let Dan try and figure out what his microphone situation's all about.
Well, it's figured out now.
Oh, wait, what? What's that?
Yeah, I was coughing before. I didn't want the coughing part to hit the show. But anyway, we almost hit a record. We're bumping up against records right now. Up to 19.6 degrees.
I want you to hold all that information because Dan Duran, I just wanted to introduce you with his beautiful music.
Yeah,
and then
summer wind.
And then we'll take our first break here in Dan Duran's forecast, which includes apparently some records. And maybe we'll send Dan Duran to the magic wall when we come back. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Well, we can't argue with the weather. We could try. I don't know who's going to argue with you. It's Humble and Fred Radio. Dan Duran is standing by with his full forecast. But let's talk a little bit about The Chamber plan that has been so helpful, certainly to me, anecdotally, I can tell you, the best travel insurance you can get. If you did nothing else, but, oh, hang on a second. Hang on. All right, Spotify, easy now with your continuous play. If you take nothing else from the following message from Fred Patterson, just know that this company has the greatest travel insurance, if we ever got to travel again.
Yes, just one aspect. You know, they have medical and dental insurance, travel insurance, as you talk about, prescriptions, the Teladoc system, all this wonderful stuff under the same umbrella. And believe me, believe us, it's doable for a small company. Chamberplan.ca is where to go. You can get a free quote right there on the website. Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. A lot of Humble and Fred listeners have signed up because it was very simple and it made a lot of sense because it's very stable. 30,000 small Canadian businesses have gotten together. You know, it's like the image of a large company, which makes premiums very, very affordable. It's fantastic. Really, it's stable. It's the smart thing to do. Your employees will love you for it, and simple to sign up. Again, go to chamberplan.ca, see what's available, get a free quote, take it from there.
Dandaran weather, weather, Dandaran. Well, one thing's more clear than ever before. You are Dan Duran.
Ah, thank you for helping me with that. I appreciate it.
You know, knowing you has been one of the great joys of my life. But yesterday, knowing you made me a little bit of a, gave me a little bit of cred with my golfing friends. They were so, everyone's very, of a certain age, it seems, everyone loves that show, The Boys.
And oh, right. Yes.
Two of the guys I played with yesterday, like they can, they talk about the characters, Homelander this and, you know, doppelganger that. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, an acquaintance of mine, I said, an acquaintance of mine was in several of these episodes. And they said, what? I said, yeah, episode 4 of that newscast. They're like, oh, my God, that was a pivotal scene in the Summer of Blue. And I'm like, yeah, I got that guy on my phone if you want to talk to him.
Yeah. Speed dial.
Tell you, Fred, you know, you've probably experienced, too, the, you know, Dan Duran, you know, encounter. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
No. It's funny you say that, because I have this acquaintance. Well, I still do. I don't see him often, but I used to years ago. And he used to pull that. We'd be golfing or something. He'd call his friends and say, guess who I'm golfing with, and make me talk to them. This was the heydays of CFNY.
Yeah, the weird thing is he was calling.
I'm golfing with Fred Patterson right now. Hey, Fred, you want to speak to Fred? It's like, oh.
No, the weird thing is he was often calling me. He wanted to make you feel good. Hey, talk to this guy. It's Fred Patterson.
You ever had that?
Yeah.
Honestly, have you ever had that? It's like awful.
Have I ever had it? Are you kidding me?
And the thing is, the person he's trying to impress doesn't really care.
No.
Doesn't really care. So what?
I've had that happen to me in person, which makes it worse. I had it happen, you know, recently. I was, you know, finished golf about a month ago. We're all sitting on the patio. I was having a non-alcoholic Erdinger. And this guy brings another guy over who barely has heard of us. He's like, you know, this is Humble Howard. And I'm like, please kill me. Just kill me now.
It's just awful.
One We're person just really knows who you are and loves the heck out of you, and then trying to tell another person how great you are is a really weird experience.
It is.
Well, the problem back then, you know, there's so many forms of entertainment now. Back in those days, your favorite radio station, you just assumed it was everybody else's favorite radio station.
Yeah, for sure.
So because you loved Humble and Fred, you thought everybody else did, and most people didn't even know who the hell we were. And often you're introduced to people that could care less about you. And the person that's introducing you has got to look like, aren't you impressed? Aren't you impressed? No.
And everyone's uncomfortable. I've had the opposite as well, and I know you have. Dan probably hasn't because he's internationally loved as an actor. But this has happened to both of us for sure, where I've been places where people go out of their way to come up to me a complete stranger to tell me how much they hate my show, you know, or how much they more. This happened more than that. I think I would get. Oh, I hear you work at that at 102.1. I hate that station. I'm like, well, thank you for making the effort. You know,
no, I know.
And that made me, and I remember ex-wife Randy used to say to me, you know, I don't know, just ignore it. Like, it used to just drive me crazy because I would want to get into it with that person and go, let me get this straight. You walked all the way across the room. You know, I get that kind of whatever. I don't do that anymore. I just go, oh, hello.
Further to that, the irony of that, a lot of the music we played back then is now mainstream classic music, right?
Oh, yeah, I'd say.
And those same people, you work at the Edge or CFNY. Oh, that's that weird stage. You're playing all that weird music. And now a lot of that weird music is played on, like, CHFI as classic gold.
Well, no, when you're in the grocery store and you hear Soundgarden Muzak, you know you're old.
Yeah.
You're like, wait a second. I'm pretty sure that's Better Man by Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Anyway, Dan Duran. All of this by way of saying Dan Duran, that your association with me gave the fellas I was playing with a little boy's thrill because they love that series so much. And I am about halfway through season two because I kind of bailed on it. We talked about the other day the fact that they were releasing it week by week. I just didn't have the patience. But you were telling me that you figure prominently in the last episode as well?
In the last episode, yeah. So 4 and 7 a little bit and then 8.
But in 8, you're in it a lot?
Yeah, it's a longer passage.
Okay.
So, I'm not going to tell you anything about it because you haven't gotten there yet.
Spoiler alert. But the scene that when I first saw it and I sent you a note or whatever, I said, wow, man, you were in quite a bit. Not only at the beginning where we see you reading the news, but during the scene, you're constantly in it, like the background features you. I think we had this conversation where I asked you if they give you copy to continue to read, because you were on for quite a bit.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what they did. They gave me like 4 or 5 minutes of copy.
Okay.
And then it was like, it was a teleprompter, so it made it a whole lot easier to just, you know, ramble on. And, yeah.
And let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you get a script like that and you read it, are you aware of what the show is about? Or do you even care? You just read your piece, or do you have to read enough to know that I've got to deliver this in such a way based on what I know about what's happening in the script?
By the way, great question, Fred.
Thank you, Fred. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it. Wait, the last part of that is you said is true. You want to know what's going on in the scene.
Oh, do you?
But you're signing all these confidentiality
NDAs.
NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, because they don't want any of this stuff to get out, and there is such a strong fan base. Mm-hmm. And when we were shooting season two, season one was just starting to come out, or just around the corner from coming out. And so I didn't know anything about season one because I wasn't in season one. And the scripts you get, sometimes you get the entire script for that episode. Sometimes you just get the dialogue that you're doing. The scenes that you're doing, you don't get the whole thing, which is what happened with the boys.
Well, I was going to say, Fred and I can attest, when Dan gets into character, like when he's got a scene to shoot that day, Fred, you found this, I'm sure you know, we don't talk about it a lot, but Dan doesn't want to be called Dan. We can only call him, a newscaster. I'm about to prepare for a big scene, and he's in character. And, man, he won't answer to Dan.
All he addressed me is reporter number one.
Reporter number one.
That's very funny.
He's like Jim Carrey in Man in the Moon, right?
That's right.
It's very, you know, I've never acted. Howard, you've acted. Dan, you've acted. What's it like? I can't, like, that must be exciting. I've never, like, acted.
Well, listen, the few things I've been in, I've either played an MC, a radio guy. Like, I've been in 3 or 4 things. Go check out my IMDb. But I have been in one. I was in one thing years ago called CTV's Instant Star, where I was booked to play a radio guy. And other than, yes, I had to MC something in one of the scenes I was in. But, Dan, I think I've told you about this. In another scene, there was 4 or 5 people, including Maestro Fresh Wes. And I had to walk into the scene with all the other actors. So there's 4 or 5 actors that are on the series. And I had to walk in, say a couple things, respond to somebody, and walk out. And I was terrified. I mean, I had done that a couple times in high school and such.
Oh, I can see that.
But I can tell you because I didn't, because I wasn't basically just doing a version of me. I had to walk in, hit a mark, look to somebody, say a thing, and then walk out. And I was, I had that sort of trembly feeling.
Weren't you on Degrassi too or something?
Yeah, I was on, well, but on Degrassi, I did, all I did was MC a talent contest. Like I was, like the things
you
that I
was still acting though.
Yeah, but it's, but I was acting like a DJ.
Okay.
But I'd never, I'm not sure if I ever told you that, Dan, that I was, I found it, my heart was racing a bit because I, because I was going to, because what I was about to do was going to impact everyone in that scene. Have you done that?
In the earlier days? Yes. Look, I find now that auditions are the most nerve-wracking for me. That's the tough one. But doing the actual scene, for the most part, it's not. If you don't have your lines down, you start blowing your lines. That's the time that that starts to happen. But in general, you're there, and it's everybody's trying to do a good job, and everybody's trying to, you know, do their best, and you know all the pretenses are kind of dropped once you're on set, and that's ready. You're ready to go. So it's interesting, and it's invigorating, I find. You know, especially when you're in a room full of people, half of, you know, like 100 extras, and like when I was doing what was it, Designated Survivor. With Kiefer Sutherland, who acted as president.
I love that series. First couple years of that series, I loved it.
Yeah. So I didn't get to meet Kiefer Sutherland, but I was excited. And all, I mean, I didn't, like, my scene was with him, but he was, you know, one of the executive producers, and he was always busy on the set.
Well,
so
go ahead, Freddie.
So just in that, so like, there's 100 extras in the room, there's him coming in, and it's actually kind of worked better for the scene because, you know, okay, there's the president. I haven't met him before, but I'm asking him questions, kind of thing, right? So.
No, we talked to Jan Arden about that. Is you got a room full of people. There's a lot of money on the line. It's not like radio. There's a lot of money. Time is money. And if you have like a big chunk of dialogue and you keep blowing it, that's what would scare the crap out of me. If I looked at my script and there's like four paragraphs, it's like,
You know what?
You know, you learn.
Here's the thing. I have, again, that thing I described was the most acting or actorly thing I've done. But I've been in situations on set. John Gallagher and I did a movie together years ago. Me and John. It was Gallagher and I, and while we were being made up, down a couple chairs to the left was Paris Hilton, and a couple chairs to the right was Paul Sorvino. But John and I, when we did our scene, it was just the two of us against a green screen, basically acting like MCs. But I don't think I've ever told you this, but I did. Maybe I did. But I did an ABC movie of the week years ago, and I played a talk show host interviewing Donald Trump.
Oh.
It was the ABC movie of Trump's life. This is about 10 or 15 years ago. And it was the thing is, it was interesting because the whole day I was on the set in a radio booth-like setting interviewing Donald Trump. And everyone on the crew was shooting that scene with me and this actor that day. And I felt a lot of pressure because I had a lot of dialogue and a lot of things, but it was radio guy dialogue, so I could handle it. But it was still, whenever I screwed up, I felt this responsibility for holding the production up, and I found it unnerving.
Yeah, I could see that. Were you allowed? Did you actually see Paris Hilton? Lay eyes on her?
Yep.
Did she look at you?
Who knows? Like, I was honestly too... Like, if you imagine you're in a makeup room, but imagine, like, a hair salon. So there's mirrors. She was, like, two doors down from me and had a towel on her head and was
had
quite...
Had you seen her sex video?
I had, yes.
That? Yeah. So when you're looking at her, you're thinking of her in that sex video.
Absolutely, I was. In fact, everyone around that time said, oh, my God, did you say anything about her sex video? I said, yeah, that's what I was going to do. Hey, Paris!
I would have. I said, hey, Paris, good job.
Like, no, wow. Really. She's like 15 feet from me. Hey, Paris, I've seen your vagina. Great work. Great work with creating a nice vagina area.
You really know your way around a tubing.
That's right. Hey, Paris, your fellatio technique is quite outstanding. Anyway, hang on. This is breaking news. Where is it? Breaking news sounds. Here we go. afford our magic wall for a key state alert. And with us is Dan Duran. Dan Duran, does your magic wall have anything to say about the next few days of this weather that we're having? You know, it's almost like we went fall back into summer. And does that continue? How long does it last? Are we going to pay for this with some kind of snowfall?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a little bit mild, on the mild side of seasonal. After we get through this warm spell. And there's all kind of, you know, other people like to put together all kind of records. They broke a record here, record there. What's the upcoming record? We're talking about how many days in a row at this time of year that will go, like in November, that will go with temperatures above 15 degrees. So it, I think the previous record for the GTA is about 7 days. And we probably come up close to that. Maybe 8, but 7 days. And they were a little bit, I think we were talking yesterday, the temperature in Toronto was supposed to be somewhere around 16, and it actually hit 19.3 degrees, which was not a record, but darn close to records for the rest of this week and around the province. So you'll probably be hearing that kind of thing going on. And close into Quebec as well, this warm weather will linger into the early part of next week.
Dan, I got
like 8 degrees
here, and I've got the Milton forecast up because Milton's where my golf course is, and it's got 20s starting Saturday. So I don't know what it is today because I don't have it up. But Friday 18, then 4 days in a row: Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, of 20 degrees.
Yeah, so a little bit north and a little bit west, like up to Barrie, you're going. The forecast is calling for 20s. Toronto is more like 19. With a 20 on Monday, depending on which forecast you're looking at. Environment Canada tends to be pretty conservative, and they modified their forecast, and they're sort of saying 18s today. But they were very wrong yesterday because it did get up to, what was it? Like 19.3.
Okay,
yesterday.
Beautiful.
Actually, you know, for Toronto, they're going like 18, 19 in the next few days.
What's the Coorthas on Saturday? Your area?
The Coorthas on Saturday will be around 15.
That's all?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Why are you going up there?
But yeah, I
was thinking about it.
Mm. Yeah. But sunny.
Okay.
I had dinner on the deck last night outside. Mm. It was 12 degrees. It was lovely. And I didn't think I was going to be doing that anytime soon.
You know, even though where I was, and I'm not complaining, I'm just saying it could have been a little less windy. But even the wind.
Yeah, you're looking for something.
No, I know.
Find something.
No, I'm not always fine. Honestly, where I was, it was. Yeah. It was beyond blustery. It was pretty. What was weird about it was
at the Toronto airport they were going like 35 or 25 to gusting up to 40.
But what was weird about it was it never settled down. Like even in the late afternoon when wind tends to back off a bit, it was still pretty sporty. But it was surreal in the fact that the wind was warm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, at this time of year to feel warm air, it was odd actually.
Yeah.
Were a lot of guys wearing shorts where you were?
You know, I was at Dixie in the Lakeshore, whatever that is, at Lakeview, and there was no wind at all. Not a factor on any level.
Lot of guys wearing shorts? A lot of pink legs and things?
Yeah, I should have worn shorts. I didn't, because I stepped outside here at home before I went, and I made that call. But I think today I'll wear shorts.
Don't you have those pants you can unzip and then turn into shorts?
Yeah, oh, no, no.
I've got a golf course.
Fred wears those pants like the RCMP, like the little puffy parts.
All right.
Little puffy tunics. Pants. That's right. When Fred golfs, he wears puffy RCMP pants.
They make me look very hippie.
Yeah. What is that? Why is that a costume? What was that designed for? That part of the RCMP look. Okay, what we'll do is we'll make the pants extra puffy. Well, you know, in case you're portaging and you need supplies. That's what you put your bread and cheese.
I know.
It's so dumb.
Keep your bread and cheese warm. Well,
you must keep your bread and cheese somewhere.
My reference here is Saturday 18 at Burley Falls, 19 on Sunday.
Ooh.
I may just take a little fall drive that day.
That'll be nice. Mm-hmm. Although it's, you know, it's weirdly, because when you get weather like this in November, it's funny you brought up the leaves, but I was looking back at one of the holes I was playing yesterday where maybe a week ago, all the leaves were like that bright red, that fall whatever that color is, and all those leaves are gone. They're like, hey, what are you guys doing here? I thought we were done with this, because they're just gone. Like, it's like I said, the temperature just seemed out of place yesterday. And where I was, tons of guys in shorts. The golf courses are jammed right now. The fact that you got another tee time today somewhere is just remarkable, because, you know, that's I've seen guys online willing to sell their tee times.
What?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Because you can't get one.
Isn't that something?
Yep. I saw some guys saying they'll give up a spot. Wow. Let me see if it's this still going on today.
Well, is that like a scalper's market for tea times now?
Yeah. I deal in commodities, you know, tea times.
Anyway, are you done your forecast? Because I just feel like...
I think that's pretty much it. But, you know, if you want to complain about stuff, you can complain, and you're going out golfing today, as I'm guessing.
I am, yes.
So, yeah, there'll be wind there today as well, kind of like yesterday. So don't... things will calm down a little bit tomorrow, but not today. Mm-hmm. Today you're going to see that gusting up to... again, depending where you are, right?
So wait, you're saying that today's going to be windy again?
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Okay. See there.
Where I'm going, it says, where am I? It says, like, 20 kilometers. Like, I don't mind 20 kilometers. Honestly, I don't. But where I was yesterday was just ferocious. Dan Duran's weather is brought to you by our friends at 5-Hour Energy. 5-Hour Energy. Small bottle, big results. And, of course, Dan Duran, no longer affiliated with Cars for Dan, because he's got himself a new vehicle. So thank you.
I do, yes.
Thank you very much. And Richard Surrett will be our guest coming up. And then later on, I found an odd story. At first, I thought it was fake news. But it turns out, and this is from the CTV News website. I'm not sure if we'll get to this with Richard, but... Emotional support Canadians. You know what? You know when you get like a therapy dog, you know, and some people need a dog to make them feel better? Well, apparently.
No way.
You'll wait for it. Emotional support Canadians are offering to help Americans stressed by the U.S. election. How awesome. How great is that? It's like, who are you traveling with? I'm with my emotional support Canadian.
Howard, you'd be good at that. You'd have a nice calming effect on our American friends.
What are you talking about?
Well, I just think you would.
Well, yes, you're right.
You'd bring somebody down off the ledge.
Yeah.
Just with
you. Can you imagine what kind of emotional state you're in if I calm you down?
Can you imagine,
I was thinking of killing myself till I met him, and now I'm like, you know what? Things aren't so bad. Things aren't bad at all.
Even better, can you imagine Howard as a hostage negotiator?
Oh yeah. I was just everyone all would die.
Special team.
It's like, why did everyone get killed? Because Howard lost his mind. his first things were, I don't care, kill them all. Anyways,
then he got pissed off and started arguing with him.
That's right. Hey, Captain, you're not supposed to argue with the hostage taker. I don't care. thank you, Dan Duran, and thank you for being here. We will miss you until we talk to you again on Monday.
All right. Have a great Humble and Fred weekend.
Yeah, it is. It's Humble and Fred weekend time.
I may see you Saturday, Dan, actually, if you're around.
I will be around.
All right.
Oh. Connect with me, and we'll make we'll have a beer or something.
Well, why don't you guys, have more of a conversation during our program? Have you ever heard of the telephones?
Okay. So what time are you going to be?
All right. We'll take a quick break while Dan and Fred work out who's going to bring beer and who's going to bring the chips and things. Right. Tumble and Fred Radio, Richard Surrett joins us when we come back. Well, once again, I'm caught talking to a guest, having a conversation, and next thing I know, we're back. Phil, are we back?
Yes, we have.
All right. You know what? If you're coming here for a professional radio broadcast, well, flip around. welcome back, everybody. Richard Surrett standing by. Is that cool? Can we talk about that thing that we just mentioned?
Excellent. Yes, absolutely.
Before we get to Richard talking just this the notion that you know, the election continues as well as all that Trump stuff, but there's an aspect to the culture these days that I find fascinating from a conspiracy standpoint. But first, Freddie, let's talk about the retirement Sherpa, for God's sake.
Yes, Tim Niblett. He's a portfolio manager, Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim was on yesterday talking about, you know, some election implications as far as the stock markets go, but things seem to be holding steady. Didn't seem to be a big problem there. So he reminded us, you know, it's November. We're heading, believe it or not, towards the end of the year, and there's a lot to think about with your portfolio or your financial situation, year-end tax planning, RRSPs and TFSAs. You know, if you're not into that, you might want to think about it. Flow-through shares, charitable giving, something I don't have to worry about.
Why is that? Have you given all your charity for this year already?
I'm just a cold-hearted man.
No, please. If people knew how many children you support around the world, Fred, oh, my God, in the forests and the trees and
the
streams.
Here's the extent of my charity. I buy a Princess Margaret ticket.
I know you do.
Every, you know, hey, you I'm do. Giving a, listen, I'm giving $100 to the hospital.
Oh, I know you spread
what
your...
What more do you want
hey,
out of me?
You spread your cheeks for Princess Margaret.
Anyway, income splitting as well. All those things to think about as we look towards the end of the year, and it's coming at us real fast. Tim Niblett, the Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca. Say hi to Tim. He'll help you out.
Yeah, he will. Sorry, I'm just on the wrong screen. Did you know that nearly 50 international destinations have opened their borders to Canadians this fall? It really is. I mean, Freddie's talked about it. I've talked about it. And if you're trying to, you know, figure out a long-awaited trip that you want to get to and get on, Gig Sky is ready to keep you connected upon landing. If you don't know already, Gig Sky is a worldwide mobile data provider with affordable coverage. I've used it in the Turks and Caicos. You can in 190 destinations, including Turks, Cayman Islands, and other places as well. If you own one of the latest iPhones or Google Pixels with an eSIM built in, all you got to do is download the app, Gig Sky app, select your preferred plan, or download the Gig Sky eSIM and connect. That whole sentence I just said, I screwed it up. But you know what I'm saying. Download the Gig Sky app today. Enter the code HF2020 for $5 off the data plan of your choice. GigSky.com, or go to our website. We still have one. And check it out. HumbleAndFredRadio.com. Very happy to welcome back one of our regular providers for his regular spot. He is the host of the Conspiracy Show, Richard Surrett, who many people know is a conservative, Trump supporter, somebody that we don't often get a chance to talk to about Trump because, you know, what's there to say? The man's a lunatic. But what's your thoughts about this election? I guess a lot of, once again, people misread the room. He is a popular figure, whether we like him or not.
Good morning, gentlemen. And yes, I'm happy to say I am regular. I guess, first of all, it's sad what's going on. The election has been taken out of the hands of voters, and now it's going to be placed in the hands of thousands of high-powered lawyers and a lot of, I think, corrupt city bureaucrats. But we've seen this before, of course. You remember back in 2000, the George W. Bush-Al Gore election. And I think that was not decided for about 32 days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting.
And Bush eked just barely, 271 electoral votes to 269. You need 270 to win. So I think what we see going on here is some pretty clear evidence of voting irregularities. In the Milwaukee City Wire newspaper yesterday, they reported that in seven of Milwaukee voting wards, and this is where Biden apparently eked out a victory in Wisconsin. That's 10 electoral college votes. But in Wisconsin, seven city wards in Milwaukee had more votes than registered voters.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, Biden won Wisconsin by 20,000 votes. So they're asking for a recount there.
Which they're, by the way, they're allowed to by the margin. Mm-hmm. It was triggered by the margin of victory, not irregularity.
Right. But the margin, yes, but there's two things happening. You're right. There is the margin of victory allows for a recount, but yep. Also there's some widespread. I mean, when you have districts reporting 90% voter turnout and 100% votes for Biden, zero votes for Trump. I mean, it seems very odd. Let's just put it that way. Then you have Pennsylvania. This was the other thing that was very strange on election night. You had in a number of states where Pennsylvania is a prime example, Trump was up by 400,000 votes with about 80% of the votes tallied. Mm-hmm. And not even counting a lot of the red counties, which are western Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And 400. And then all of a sudden, Pennsylvania suspended voting. And then we're hearing in Philadelphia, Republican observers, and they're supposed to allow them in to watch mm-hmm. the vote counting, were barred from entering. And there's some videos of this on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So there's that going on in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Michigan, Biden won by about 35,000 mm-hmm. votes. And again, we're seeing 100%, these last minute ballot dumps, 100% votes for Biden, zero votes for mm-hmm. Trump. So there's a lot of strange things mm-hmm. going on. Arizona is still up for grabs. The tally has narrowed. It's now down to about 35,000-40,000.
It was 70,000.
Yeah, it's 70,000 right now. I'm looking at it. But Fred, you know that noise you're making? We can hear it.
Mm. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So, this isn't over. I don't know how it's going to end. I suspect it's going to end up in the courts as it did in 2000. So we'll have to wait and see. But, once again, we saw the polling just, I don't know how these people like Nate Silver keep their jobs.
Yeah, I'm going to say, before you get back to that, because that's kind of what I wanted to discuss, and it's interesting to go through the different precincts and reporting. But overall, two things that struck me. It was only a few short years ago, 2000, where we waited almost a month or more for Bush versus Gore, the hanging chads. And in just 20 short years, our attention span and our ability to delay the gratification is completely been wiped away because people are freaking out. But we've all gone through this before.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. People have a short memory.
Well, because what's happened in those 20 years is our attention spans and our need for immediate gratification has just gone off the charts. Freddie?
What? Well, I'm just amazed that, like Michigan and Wisconsin and
Pennsylvania,
Arizona, all these people have conspired to, rob the orange man of his victory. It's amazing. The network that's out there just screwing him. Like, come on. It's just ridiculous. Listen, Hillary lost by 70,000 votes spread over four
states.
Did you hear her mate barking like this and screaming and crying?
Yeah, she hasn't stopped. She hasn't stopped.
Oh, come on, Richard. She never didn't launch her. We didn't go through what we're going through
every
right
time
now.
She's on a stage.
Did Chelsea hold a news conference and scream that somebody's trying to cheat my mom? And did she have a lawyer have a news conference like Rudy Giuliani and yap nonsense? Like, none of that happened. Come on.
Well, what are you saying, Fred? That we're not seeing apparent voter fraud in Pennsylvania? I mean,
no, and that's what I'm saying. Yes, for example. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
What I think we're saying is that you can talk about Hillary Clinton still talking about the election, but that press conference with Eric Jr.
was pathetic, and
Rudy Giuliani was bananas.
But they hate their country. That's what they do by saying those things. They're hurting the democracy. They're making the country look like a banana republic.
No, call them bureaucrats in Philadelphia and Milwaukee are making the country look like a banana republic.
But what about when the president comes on the television, the talking box? What about when he comes on and says, I declare victory? What does he say yesterday? I claim victory. But when he came on the television on election night and says, you know, this is a sad day for our country, knowing full well that voting in those places is legally allowed to continue, knowing that, you know, he wanted the counting to be stopped in the states that he was leading and the counting to continue. You know what I mean? Those are unsettling moments in history that we'll look back on years from now, Richard, and go, wow, that seemed a bit odd.
Well, no? he's fighting for his political life, and I think he's fighting for the future of the country. If you look at what the Democrats have in plan, we're not talking about just changing policies here, which is fine. I mean, I happen to think that a lot of the Democrat policies are horrible and appalling, but mm-hmm. that's for the electorate to decide. But what they're talking about is changing the system. All right. They're talking about, for example, packing the Supreme Court.
Right.
They're talking and turning that into a legislative branch. They're talking about packing the Senate. So giving Senate status to Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. And so changing the balance of the Senate. They're talking about ending the Senate filibuster, which means they're talking about allowing 20 million illegal aliens, giving them amnesty so that they can vote. They're talking about
are they talking about reuniting any of those kids with their parents that they grabbed? Any of those kids?
You mean from the cages that were built during the Obama administration?
No, but where the kids, are they talking about that at all? Hey, by the way, speaking of changing the system, you know, it's obvious that the framers didn't expect this migration of population because, you know, even now the popular vote has Biden 4 million ahead of Donald Trump. And isn't
yeah, that's all corrupt, Howard.
Oh, those are all. OK, well, whatever that is, it would seem to me
popular vote is irrelevant.
I know.
You also want to amend the electoral college.
Somebody should start looking at whether it's Democrat or Republican, at some point start to look at the way the electoral college lays out, because it's not fair to the people who live in those bigger states.
Well, the idea of the electoral college is to prevent states like Kansas City and Nevada and Missouri and Iowa and North, South Dakota, Colorado from becoming irrelevant. This is what the framers had in mind. It's if it becomes a popular vote. And remember, the United States is not a democracy. Okay, it's a constitutional republic. If you get rid of the electoral college, you know, they call them the flyover states. They will be the flyover states forever. If L.A. and New York and New Jersey are allowed to decide the election, then all of those.
No, I hear you. It's to give the people.
All those other states never really have a say anyway. Yeah. In fact, I was going to say, if he holds on to Arizona, please hold on to Arizona, and then he wins Nevada. That's refreshing that Nevada could end up deciding who the president is.
And to that'd Richard's point, cool,
that rarely happens.
And even in a state like Georgia and North Carolina, where he was more competitive than Democrats tend to be. But getting back to packing the courts, you know, how does it not bug you that, you know, when Obama wanted to nominate a Supreme Court justice with 200 and some days left before the election, the Republicans are like, no, we can't do that. But get old Amy Coney in there as fast as you can while ballots had already been counted. How is that not bad for you as court packing or whatever?
Well, because elections have consequences and the Republicans control the Senate. Are you telling me for one second if the Democrats didn't, instead of Mitch McConnell, it was Harry Reid in controlling the Senate when during Obama's last year, they wouldn't have rammed that through? Of course they would.
I agree.
They would.
No, I totally agree with that, Richard. I agree with that. If they'd have held the Senate, that would have happened. But the problem is it's the optics of a guy like Lindsey Graham. But anyway, all that aside, because I know no matter what we say, you'll have a counter for it. One thing I will say about all those things you talked about, the Electoral College and other issues and, you know, statehood. And, you know, it's 2020. Their constitution should be changed. There's things within that constitution, because it's 2020, should be changed. What's the big resistance to change to the times? That's what I don't understand. People want to hold on to this old document that almost doesn't even apply anymore.
Well, give me an example. What would you like to see changed, Fred?
What I would like the whole Supreme Court thing, I think it's ridiculous. The way it's
Ruth Bader Ginsburg said 9 is the right number.
Okay, but I have a formula.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg also always, she also said, yeah, don't hold a confirmation hearing before the election.
No, it should be 5-4, and I think, you know, all the gun law stuff is ridiculous, and the Second Amendment thing should, you know, it's some, you have to evolve. Mankind always evolves. Why can't they? Even in Canada we have. Like what's
But there is a formula, Fred, for changing the Constitution. You can have amendments.
Well,
yeah.
Change. Okay, but they never do.
Been what?
Yeah.
Well, no, there's been what? 25 amendments to the Constitution.
Yeah, they should. Okay. They
well,
really
there should
get
be more.
The 25th Amendment is something they really should look at these days.
Anyway, and to get back to the whole thing, like just this whole thing that, you know, I felt so sorry for some of these people in Philadelphia yesterday in Pennsylvania. You know, these are people that have the best interests and they got to count the votes and they've taken on this responsibility for virtually nothing. And all people want to do is piss on them and accuse them of cheating. And to think there's a network of cheating like that going on, is an insult to my intelligence, honestly.
Okay, why don't you go back and examine the long history of voter fraud, Republican and Democrat, in Philadelphia? Right. It's notorious.
Okay, but that's not 2020. Maybe they've learned from it.
Well, maybe, but we'll see, because now it looks like they haven't.
We're getting some cross, I don't know what's happening here, with I can hear somebody's audio coming out of somebody else's computer. Just keep I don't know, somebody's got the reverb back on. Okay, let's leave that for a second. And what we were talking about when the break ended, as I said to Richard, I said, I can't in my memory, being a bit of a conspiracy guy, I don't recall a conspiracy theory or organization that people are talking about, like QAnon. I can't recall that being as part of the mainstream conversation. When I hear, you know, guys on Fox talk about it, or Chris Cuomo, or it doesn't matter the organization. It seems like they're part of this zeitgeist now, and I find that very odd.
I don't know if I find it odd. I find it interesting. And I think there's kind of a cultural reason for that. You know, you're right. Like 20 years ago, I was talking about things like the deep state and shadow governments, and of course, you know, I'm the tinfoil hat wearing guy, and that's okay. Put him on at midnight, and he's harmless. And now you're right. This has become part of the public discourse, and I think part of it is, yes, there's a sort of a rise in popularity of the types of shows that I'm doing. Coast to Coast AM has a huge influence. Also, because of social media platforms, there's a real convergence now. Like we're living in a network society, and so the way that information now is distributed, the big networks, mainstream media, is becoming increasingly irrelevant. I mean, I know YouTube channel guys that have bigger audiences than CNN.
Oh, many. Tons. You know, there are YouTube influencers that have bigger numbers than the networks. And what I was thinking of is, in one of the town hall with the NBC, that QAnon came up talking to the presidential candidate, the president. And I thought, isn't that odd? I mean, I don't know much about them, but I know that they've become part of this conversation. And I don't remember that in any other time in our lives.
Right. So the whole QAnon, and I don't pretend to be an expert on it, but yeah, it gets pretty wild. The crux of it is there are people out there who believe that John F. Kennedy Jr.
is still
alive, and he's become part of the kind of a whistleblower deep within the Obama administration, and he's leaking out over social media in very cryptic ways tips and or predictions about what's going to happen. And there are other people who believe, okay, no, he's not JFK Jr. He's just an insider. And there's also an element here that the Trump administration is going to expose and arrest all of these high ranking government officials that are, you know, satanic pedophiles. So that's kind of part of this whole thing. Now, I mean, as with any conspiracy, there is a kernel of truth here. There, you know, we are seeing with Epstein and so forth evidence that there are organized child sex rings, And who knows how far up the chain they go. It seems pretty apparent that Epstein, for example, was an intelligence asset and was protected. And that's why he got those sweetheart deals, sentencing deals in Florida. It was hands off because this guy is an asset and he was running a honeypot operation on Lolita Island. So getting back to QAnon, you know, that's an element of it. And there is some truth to that.
Well, you know, that the Epstein connection with Donald Trump is, it's not just Donald Trump. I mean, the manifest from those flights show a lot of high level, you know, whether it's Prince Andrew or Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton, a lot of people have been on that plane that were are going to, like, that the woman that Epstein was married to, Ghislaine,
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell. You know, when all of that comes out, there's something to it. And it's not just Republicans. It's all of them.
Oh, yes. Yes. And meanwhile, I find it interesting that, you know, again, the mainstream media kind of dismisses this. And I've been talking about Epstein for years as well. And, you know, because the manifest was available online many years ago. And the guy who obtained it and then posted it, his name escapes me, but I interviewed him a couple of times. And the mainstream media just, they did not want to touch that story. In mm-hmm. fact, there's evidence, you know, that it was covered up at NBC. Along
with ABC as well.
Yes. And now they're only talking about it because they've been shamed into it. And even then, you know, it's like, oh, conspiracy. Meanwhile, we're seeing reports all over America of the of these child sex ring task forces freeing children in states all over the union.
Well, the reason
being freed from these pedophile
rings. One of the other reasons I bring it up is that sometimes, and I've seen some of the Trump supporters at his rallies being interviewed, and it's funny, they seem, you know, it's easy to say that they're just hillbillies and blah blah blah, but they seem to be informed about QAnon, which I found fascinating that they're able to reference the Democrats as satanic pedophile, you know, baby blood drinkers. But anyway, I just thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah, but you know, so you see the election results. It's amazing when they show a state and it's all red except for where the people are. So a lot of Trump's support comes from those areas where maybe the people aren't quite as tuned in as the rest of the country.
Sorry. Yeah, but I would no, I don't agree completely. They're tuned in to a certain frequency.
Well, that's what I mean. They're just playing one side.
No, but they're not uninformed. They're just in. It's too easy to say that they're all a bunch of dummies. They're not. They're just a bunch of dummies with one. You know, I shouldn't say that. They're not dummies.
No, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
I don't think you can, you know, paint the Republican supporters as all being QAnon supporters.
No, I'm not doing that. Actually, what I was saying a couple days ago, I have, you know, it's too easy to say Trump supporters are all a bunch of redneck dumb blah blah blah. They're not. They, you know, and 68 million Americans voted for the guy. In our last minute or two, because we're going a little longer here. If Trump wins, what happens? If Biden wins, what happens?
If Biden wins, again, I think he'll probably hang out for about 6 months and then he'll be pushed aside and we'll see President Kamala Harris. And we'll see attempts to, you know, ram through an incredibly radical socialist agenda. We'll see huge tax cuts. We'll see continued lockdowns.
Tax
we'll
raises, see, you mean? Tax sorry, increases. Tax,
thank you. Yes, thanks, Fred. We'll see an attempt. In the early going, there's going to be a bit of a civil war in the Democratic Party between the AOCs her gang to try and push through this green agenda. Luckily, the Republican Senate held, and so
they won't get anything done. They'll do the same thing they did to Obama. They'll just block them, and
right.
you know.
And let's not forget, there's still that FBI investigation out there with Hunter Biden, some pretty damning evidence.
Well, if Trump wins, I guarantee you somewhere. If Trump loses, I should say, between whenever that is and him leaving office. Let's see what happens to that gang. Let's see what immunity they look for. And because Trump still, he can't be maybe prosecuted federally if he's pardoned, but he can be prosecuted in the state. So we'll see how that goes.
If I may just interject here, you predict all that, but they're going to want to get reelected 4 years from now, Richard. So they're not going to be that extreme, and they know they won't get reelected. And when it comes to this Green New Deal and environment, isn't that awful that those people are thinking about their kids and their grandkids? What a horrible thing. But anyway, that's just me.
All right. Well, let's leave it there, boys. Great chat. There's smiles on everyone's faces because it's a beautiful day in Ontario. We've got the sun shining. The Howman's going golfing in 35 minutes. Peace to you both.
Peace and love, brothers.
Peace right and love. On. Richard Surrett's conspiracy show runs Sunday nights on Zoomer Radio. Occasionally, our friend can be heard coast to coast on 600 radio stations, and every once in a while he drops a little Humble and Fred love, so, you know, we got to have him back. Thank you, my friend.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Listen, Michael, we got a comedian coming up, and so stick around. Hang on. Always interesting having a conversation with Richard. I saw that you had your head down a couple times because you don't want to get into a pissing match with the guy. I thought you made some good points. He defends those points well. The part that I find frustrating is during the break just now, I said, how do you reconcile a guy, the president, that goes on and says, you know, it's a sad night. I feel like we won the election, and he's got an answer. Mm-hmm. Richard's got an answer for it.
He did say that he had won.
Yeah, but Richard says he didn't. So
yeah, you know, and I understand it's entertaining to hear that other side and everything, but there it comes to a point where it's like, now if I don't say something, I look stupid. So the Democrats stopped the counting the other night so they could go and find 40,000 400,000 phony votes. Like, I'm sorry, I can't sit here and listen to that without saying something. It's just so, and don't get me wrong, I know there's on some level some horsing around sometimes on both sides, but the lengths these people go to defend that guy is just bizarre.
That's the part it is. And I like Richard, you like him. It's not about Richard, but it's about the, I don't know, we've had this conversation, this version of it, a bunch of times where what is that need to double down that you can just never at least admit, listen, at least admit some part of the guy is a con man who is a big, sucky baby who can't stand to lose.
And when you look at, again, 4 years ago, the razor-thin margin that Hillary ultimately lost by, I know the Electoral College, the numbers were, you know, pretty different, but within that story, and I mean, what he's talking about, I never hear Hillary bitching about that other than saying, hey, it was close. But again, she didn't have Chelsea holding a news conference the next day and some whacked out lawyer. And anyway, what, Phil?
Yeah. The huge difference between Clinton losing that election and Trump potentially losing this election, Clinton conceded.
Exactly.
Clinton conceded.
When the numbers were in.
Yeah, exactly. And so did, by the way, so did Gore. And a lot of people think he didn't have to. That was 32 days after the election. It's always the Democrats who go, you know, for the good of the country, let's be a-holes.
And you just nailed it there. That's why Al Gore did it. He could have pushed harder, but at some point he thought, for the betterment of the country, this has to end. You're dead on.
You know, I follow Eric Trump on Twitter. And I think I was following Giuliani till I got sick of it. But Phil, just for the sake of this little mini argument, can you go grab the audio? Because we've got a guest coming up, an American.
Oh yeah, the Eric Trump audio?
No. I know you got that audio.
Oh yeah.
But there's a clip. I watched it. There's a clip of Trump saying,
at like 2 in the morning.
We've won this.
We've won this. Mm-hmm. Or are we just, you know, are we wrong?
Stan, it's just me, buddy. Stan.
Oh, no, it's... Hi.
You know, I could even get into it, like, with Richard when it comes to the Green New Deal. Do you really think it's going to be... You know, it's like any negotiation. You start way over here, and you bring it back to the middle on some level.
No, I can... You, by the way, that was a... I got to get Stan, his dog walkers here. But that was a great point you made.
When here go, buddy. It's, look. Anyway, with the proposed Green New Deal, whatever you want to call about it, of course you start way over here and you bring it back to the middle. And they're going to want to be reelected in 4 years. They're not going to bring the country to their knees and ban internal combustion engines and air conditioning, all those wild things.
Yeah,
it's just I. You know, the basis of the whole Republican thing, it's just evil. And I like Richard, but he's... Why are you so committed to the evil? Why is there no compromise or no, as you say, relaxation on that support? Because it's sickening.
Like, I know that there are people in our country that rely on the oil and gas industry. Mm-hmm. My brother works in Alberta. It's a different environment there. I'm sure that, and again, the people of Pennsylvania and those Rust Belt states, obviously, you have to be careful with people's livelihoods in the now. But as you said, sometime in the future, we're going to be paying this bill. The difference is, you know, the radical left believes that we better start doing some stuff now to have ready when that bill is due. And the other side seems to be like, I don't even think that bill's coming. You know what I mean?
Well, they don't even think the issue or the problem exists.
Well, that's what I mean. They don't even think there's a bill due somewhere.
How do I look at my grandkids and not have a mind to the environment? Like, seriously. I'm 64. You know what? I'm going to leave this earth and things aren't going to change that much.
Nope.
But they're still going to be around 60 years from now. What type of a person doesn't consider that?
Well, and what kind of a person would rather dig their heels in any time, you know, when they talk about AOC and her squad, and you know what they're afraid of? They're afraid of younger people with younger points of view. You know, I've been saying this all along. Joe Biden shouldn't be the president of the United States. Trump shouldn't, but Joe Biden shouldn't be. It's ridiculous.
Well, just think of Peter Buttigieg.
Think about if anyone who is more in touch, they hate AOC and her ilk because they represent the future.
And the future means change.
Yeah.
Everything about our life changes and evolves. Why not the Constitution? He talks about 25 amendments. Well, come on. I'm talking about...
The last amendment was 60 years ago.
Yeah, I'm talking about the meat of it.
Yeah,
to reflect 2020.
You know
what I'm talking about.
I don't even want to get into the Second Amendment, but let's be serious. You know, the joke always is I'm fine with people walking around with muskets. You know, if your Second Amendment rights allow you to bear arms, it should be the arms that you were given in the 1800s.
and I'll tell you, as Richard sits there, I know he's deeply, deeply, we didn't even get into against abortion. And, you know, nobody's going to argue. Abortion's a terrible thing. Wish it never had to happen. The actual act is a horrible thing. Yes, 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 yes. However, it's not for us to choose.
It's not for us to choose.
It would be wonderful if they never happened. I totally agree with that. But they do happen, and the woman, and it's all up to the person who has the...
No, I get it. I mean, I don't 100% agree that, you know, there are situations where it has to happen.
Oh, no, wouldn't it be a wonderful world if they never had
it? I get it. The fact that they're, you know, the fact that that backwoods nation, the fact that they're still talking about abortion is another embarrassment. I find it embarrassing when I hear grown white men. You know, I'm so sick of Lindsey Graham and that jowly idiot Mitch McConnell talking about women. I mean, I just shut up already. Listen, we got to get some sponsor stuff done before our friend, new friend, Michael Jr. Is supposed to be on our program. Laugh Your Mask Off Canadian Virtual Tour is coming up here in a minute or two. Can you tell me what you know about CDN Technologies, or have you already done that? I can't remember.
No, CDN Technologies.
Yeah, do it.
Listen, if you're having problems with your network,
yeah,
they do it all. Backups and recoveries, IT security, IT services, IT support 24/7. It's this simple. Go to cdntechnologies.com or give our Fred Barbaluskowicz a call, 905-542-9759. She'll give you the straight goods. They'll be able to tell you what your problems are and how they can be fixed and the system for fixing them. They've got all the solutions. In fact, solutions is a big part of cdntechnologies.com, 905-542-9759. Chances are you're going to be speaking to Barb.
Oh, yeah, you will. Oh, yeah. Here, hang on a second. Let me get some. Let me get the latest here. Microbes are germs, Phil. They're bacteria. They're viruses. Aegis Microbe Shield, used by Clear Air Solutions, can make your home or home office a safer, bacteria and virus-free space. Aegis has been using this technology for over 40 years on touch surfaces, light switches, door handles, vehicles, desks, keyboards, mouses, and washrooms. Registered with global health authorities, including Health Canada, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and the European Union. Find out more and get a certified Aegis Microbe Shield applicator in your home, in your office. Ken Preston's the guy. Clear Air Solutions, the place. Go check it out online. Just Google it. The number is 705-721-1600. 705-721-1600. And we've got a couple minutes before this comic is supposed to come on. I told you that there's a story out of CTV. Emotional Support Canadians. Apparently, that phrase, Emotional Support Canadians, was trending. The offer seems to have been started by a Twitter user. Says that Americans hoping to become Canadians should stuff their pockets with Canadian tire money to trick border officials into thinking they are Canadians. It's a little tongue-in-cheek thing.
Do they even still give Canadian tire money, or is it all done on card points and stuff?
They're doing both right now.
Oh, are they? Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, I remember as a kid having wads of it. You'd have a stack, like, you know, a foot high, and it'd be worth like $4.75 or something. $4.75.
No, I remember having it in my car, just wads of it, and then finally getting frustrated and throwing it out.
Ooh,
I'm the same way, by the way, with Optimum points. Like, I don't like Rachel. I don't know about Dahl, but Rachel has, like, I don't know, a million Optimum points or something. I can't even, you know, I'm so lazy when they say, do you want to swipe your Optimum card? I'm like, no, I have to go back into my wallet.
I have one on my keychain. It's one of the little ones. But I don't go to many Optimum point places. I don't really go to Shoppers that much. The one I take advantage of is I have the Canadian Tire MasterCard Super Points card. And I'll tell you, it adds up quick. They give you like 5 cents for every liter of gas you buy if you buy it at their gas bar. And
seriously,
I'm amazed how often I go into Canadian Tire and they say, would you like to use your points, sir? And I'll say, how much? And she'll say like $13. And I'll think, that didn't take long.
Okay.
I'm impressed.
Hey, Michael, can you, we're right in the middle of our broadcast. I'm not sure what you know about us, but we're doing a radio show and a podcast. Can you hear us?
I can't hear you.
There you are. And we can see you. How are you, my friend?
Great. Fabulous. Awesome.
Michael Jr. is promoting his Laugh Your Mask Off Canadian Virtual Tour. First of all, welcome to the Humble and Fred Show. This has got to be a thrill for you because, I mean, it is, it's a huge deal in Canada.
Yeah. I've been waiting to get on the Fred and, what'd you say?
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. We're just going to promote your show. Hey, Michael, what is a virtual tour? Are you going to be doing stand-up? Are you going to be just talking to people? How does it work?
Oh, it's all in the mind. We're just going to tell people that we're doing a comedy show and have them buy tickets, and then that's it. And they just have to remember and think about it.
Ah, I see. Because I've got some dates. The show is 13, 14, 15, 20, 21, 22. You buy tickets. It's G-rated. The whole family can be there laughing our masks off. Now, you're an American. You don't believe in masks, do you?
Yeah, I do. I got some cousins who used to wear them for work.
Didn't really?
But not anymore. But they're in prison now.
So yeah, of course.
So the virtual tour is basically me and at my studio, and we've done it here in America, and it's on Zoom, and I get to interact with the audience. And we took my new comedy special that hasn't been released yet, and we chopped it up, so you actually get to watch the comedy special, and then we cut it up, and then I interact with the audience in between. Then we go to more comedy special. We got a trivia game. Some trivia we play is super interactive. It's a really cool, like one household last weekend had 18 people in front of the TV.
Nice.
It was a blast. It was so much fun.
Well, these times, you got to be become creative, and that sounds pretty creative from your standpoint.
Yeah. People are really liking it a lot, like specifically the interaction, but also they get to see a comedy special that hasn't been released yet. Like, we were going to release this right before all of this happened. Then I was like, wait a second, let's just hold off. And now we got this really golden, like, it's shot in front of 4,000 people, 9 cameras. The name of it is More Than Funny. So I'm super excited about people getting to experience it.
That voice is Michael Jr., who promotes himself as the number one Christian comedian in North America. So what does that mean exactly? That's what it says right here. Number one. I thought it was Gaffigan, but it turns out to be you.
Wow. Yeah, I just talked to Gaffigan, and he bowed down.
He was like, he said, you're number one.
With the whole Black Lives Matter thing, I'm going to let you go ahead.
Yeah, you take it. You take the mantle.
Yeah, I don't know where that information came from, but I think that's a matter of opinion. So I can't wait till people come to Laugh Your Mask Off, and they can determine where the funny is.
I'll tell you where you can get tickets, laughyourmaskoff.com/Canada. Where are we speaking to you this morning, sir?
I am in the beautiful city of Dallas right now.
Dallas, let's go to the big board. Dallas is in Texas, and with 85% reporting, it turns out Donald Trump has won that state. Fantastic. Way to go, yes. America. Way to go, Texas.
Yay. What do you know? He got Texas.
He got Texas. Now, what are your thoughts about, if you don't mind us as Canadians asking, what's the last 24 hours been like for you?
It's been a little crazy, man. I'm super excited to see that my vote matters, meaning I decided to vote for the white man in his 70s. That was my big
deal. That's right.
And I can tell that it's pulling through, man.
Another white guy in his 70s. You know, it's funny you say that, because I said just a few minutes ago, we've been talking about Trump and Biden up here for a long time, but as much as I think Trump is the, you know, is like Lord Voldemort, can we not find somebody in America in their 50s, maybe? In there. Could there be somebody not close to 80?
I could answer that question so much better if I knew who Lord Voldemort was. That would be amazing. Yeah, I just have no reference for that.
He's the villain in Harry Potter.
Oh,
ask your kids.
I've never seen Star Wars.
That's not, yeah.
Point that out, by the way, too.
So, but what the point being that it seems like America can't find somebody, like the joke we've been saying for months now is, if you ran a big company and they said, hey, by the way, there's two guys in the lobby. One is 74. He's crazy. The other guy's 78. He's not sure where he is. These are these are your two choices.
Yeah, I would choose myself, actually. I would just write myself in and hope they don't call me. Be like, oh, please don't call me. Yeah, it's pretty hectic right now. Like, there's a lot of tempers kind of flaring. But I really think that you don't know what flavor a teabag is until it gets in the hot water. Mm-hmm. This is a great opportunity to really assess who your friends are and what's important to them. So that's what I'm using it for. Like, if you can't talk to me because I like this guy or that guy, and if you can't find anything right about the other person, oh, my goodness, there's something wrong with you. Like, you gotta find something right. Like Hitler's mustache was okay. I mean, something was okay. Like,
he was a snappy dresser.
He was.
There you go. Like, there's something. Like, you gotta find it.
You can say that Donald Trump's skin is
You know, depending on the day, it's quite.
Yeah, you could say that he's a great detector of which way the wind is blowing.
No, you know, Michael, that is a great point, and we've made that point. It's which sort of adds to his stupidity. It's he's done some good things, and he won't let them lie, or he won't let them be exposed because he covers it up with all of the other nonsense. So, yeah, there has been some decent things he's done.
Yeah, and then if you even take his name off of, you can say the same thing about anybody. You'd be like, there's some decent things Humble has done.
Exactly.
Right? That's right.
Like, there's some I'm sure.
Like, you can do that with anybody. The issue comes if you can't see anything nice in somebody else, then you really need to grab a mirror. Because there's got to be something in somebody.
Right.
Well, I got to tell you that not only is this going to be a fun show for you to laugh your mask off, but there's also some wisdom. There's some inspiration. There's interactivity. The dates for Michael's tour on 13th, 14th, 15th, 20th, 21st, 22nd. But just back to what's going on there in your funny little country. Are you one of those Americans who are like, if Trump wins, I'm moving to Canada, because that's what we hear a lot of. And just for the record, we're not open for business, just so you know.
Yeah, no. If whichever one wins, I'm moving to Mexico. That's what I'm deciding already.
That's a good point, too, when I hear Americans say that I'm moving to Canada. I think, why? I would head south. I wouldn't.
Yeah. Mexico is wide open.
It's beautiful there.
It's got a couple issues, like they don't have buildings and stuff. But
yeah.
There's you know, instead of going A, B, I'm going to go C.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah,
that's what's
right on.
So I'm super excited, man. Very, very excited about this comedy tour and people coming through and stuff, man. So
well, we're happy to let everyone know that you seem like a very nice person. At the very least, you're a nice person.
That's your multitasking voice that you just did.
Yeah, because I was like, looking at a.
Because
I'm looking at your dates again. I want to make sure I get that right. Go to laughyourmaskoff.com/Canada. That really was my distracted voice. It's also it's also my wrapping up the interview voice.
And don't forget, everybody, we can laugh with the whole family. Like, it's so cool. I met six dogs last weekend. Like, there's never six dogs at my show. Normally just four at the most. There was six dogs.
You might get four at your outdoor shows, but not at your Zoom shows. Listen,
great.
We got to wrap up our show too. Listen, all the best to you, Michael. Thanks for taking a second and letting us.
You guys are awesome, man. Thanks so much.
We really are very nice for you.
One of you is amazing.
Thank you, Michael. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck with that, man. Yeah,
we're just going to say goodbye to Michael now. Remove Michael. He's done. There he's gone. All right.
You know, talking about. He mentioned Zoom and all those people. The grandkids were over last night, and May was telling a story that there's about 18 or 19 kids in class at any one time, and they try to teach them to mute their microphones, but they all, more often than not, forget. And she was talking about being able to hear some of them fart. She said, yeah, they don't turn the microphone on. I can hear farts.
Yeah, I'm sure you say, well, that's like grandpa.
That's like grandpa on Zoom every morning.
Grandpa farting. All right, thanks to everybody. Here's Phil.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa. Sky the Chambers Plan. Clear Air Solutions. Palma Pasta. CDN Technologies. 5-Hour Energy. And GarbageDay.com/Humble and Fred. We broadcast to the planet from the worldwide headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at HumbleandFredRadio.com.
Hang on. All right. So you're going golfing. I'm going golfing.
Yeah, you know when Michael said I voted for the white man, you know what he meant?
Yeah. They're both white.
Yeah. No, he meant Trump's orange, I think. That's the way I took
it. Oh, I took it like they're both just, he voted for one of the two white guys you can vote for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me get him back on and interpret.
I thought he said I voted for the white man.
Oh, I didn't get that. Okay.
Anyway. That's the way I took it. Oh, that's why I laughed. I thought that was funny, but maybe he didn't.
So here's the difference. I just had this screenshot up all morning. I wanted to pass it on to you. It's a little late in the game, but it's very interesting, I thought. They did an exit poll.
Yes.
Of the electorate,
And the question they asked was, is racism in the U.S. most important problem or one of many important problems? Biden voters, 70%. Trump voters, 28%. Mm-hmm. A minor problem or not at all? Biden voters, 16%. Trump supporters, 82%. Mm-hmm. So when we talk to Richard Serrett about things changing, mm-hmm. that's the biggest difference, is that on the liberal side of things down there, they see racism as an issue. And this is, by the way, all those things.
And, you know, those people, and I heard this explained yesterday, people like Richard want to hold on to that electoral college.
Yeah.
Because with the changing demographics and attitudes of America's young people and everything, the Republicans would never get fucking reelected ever again.
Yeah.
Unless they radically changed their their policies to the middle. But anyway, I find it so funny. Like, do you think that fucking they'll come in and be so radical?
No, I know.
That would just be an invitation to be to lose the next election.
No, so, but it's like what defines radical to someone like the conservatives there?
Yeah.
Is, you know, years ago we didn't recycle our food. We didn't separate our food. Mm-hmm. And now we do.
Yeah.
So let's just do that with everything. You know, let's not be afraid that we need, because as I said, there's a bill coming due. And if we don't start doing something, or by the way, if the world doesn't make that a major priority, we're fucked. We're not fucked. Mm-hmm. We got 20 years maybe. But our children, but we're going to be fine.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what. And that's another thing with, you know, Richard, obviously, he's a religious guy, and he homeschools his children. He's so concerned about their welfare, it would seem. Yet he supports a fucking monster. Like, it's weird.
It is weird.
So this guy that you're defending and promoting on our show and publicly is a fucking monster. Like, what about your kids? Like,
yeah, but I guess somehow, and that would be a question for another day. How do you reconcile your beliefs in the Almighty with somebody that is so clearly, one of the seven deadly sins is what's the one about being prideful? I mean, Donald Trump, at the very least, would be, go against the religious ideal of being humble and being, in the service of others, as opposed to the service of yourself. Phil, speaking of which, don't service yourself too much this weekend, okay, honey? Because you hurt yourself.
Well, it's waiting to be counted.
Because you're going to hurt yourself, little honey bear, when you try and get too much out of the jar. Okay.
Well, I was about to say, Fred, I think Richard's opinion is probably in his blood, because if you remember, there was a New York Times poll, and they based the data on people's names. So the names of people who voted for either Biden or Trump. And they found out that 64% of people named Richard support Trump.
Basically dicks. Dicks support Trump.
It's my middle name.
Yeah, but you're not. You're not Dickie. All right, guys.